For WILL, I'm Victoria Shepherd, and this is Mid-American Gardener, where we love to talk about anything connected to gardening in central Illinois. This week is our 12th episode, and I'm very excited to tell you that I'm going to be talking to Tanisha Shade Spain via Skype. Tanisha, as some of you may have heard this week, is the new permanent host of the Mid-American Gardener television show on WILL-TV. Some of our East Central Illinois fans may know Tanisha from her days at WCIA, where she served as both a news anchor and reporter. Most recently, she has been working towards getting her certification at the University of Illinois Extension Master Gardener Program. Welcome to the Mid-American Gardener Podcast, Tanisha.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on this show. I feel this is a huge step, one, because I'm doing this via Skype, never done it before, and two, because you are going to step into the famous seat on the set.
Oh, gee, no pressure or anything.
No pressure whatsoever, but you have a very interesting background, and I would love to share some of your story with our listeners. So I know you finished the program now, have you? The Master Gardeners program?
I am still actually in the course currently. So it's going to be kind of interesting with me being a student and hosting at the same time. So I'll be learning in the field. I'll be learning via my textbook. So yeah, I'm actually still involved with that program actively.
But you know what? That's what I find fabulous about doing this podcast as well, is that I am learning so much. And it is, you have a very curious mind when you're trying to learn and take it all in. So, and because of your background as a reporter and an anchor and your background in journalism, you're going to be able to sort of ask the questions of the panelists that a lot of the viewers may also be asking.
That's what the hope is. I really believe that that will be the case because, you know, even in my own backyard, I've got a lot of things growing right now, but I have to run and go grab my text or run and go look something up on the Extension website. And so I think that's going to be a nice draw for folks is, you know, hey, we've got a host who needs to know how much fertilizer to use just like I do, or you know, we'll have the same problems in the garden. So hopefully that'll be a nice sort of relatable facet of the whole thing.
Yes. Now your hometown is Danville. Is that correct?
I actually grew up in Georgetown. It's just a small town just south of Danville. But yes, Vermillion County is where I grew up.
So you're from Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
And you're now living in Danville.
Correct. I grew up in Georgetown. In fact, when I was working over in Champaign at Channel 3, I just drove back and forth for almost a decade. That was about an hour commute. So didn't move very far, just sort of right up the road, and just wanted to be closer to work and home and shopping and that kind of thing. So made the big trek up Route 1 to Danville.
So what got you into, or where did your love of gardening, your interest stem from?
So growing up in Georgetown, I was very, very fortunate to have my entire family pretty much live on one street. My mom and I and my father lived in a house here. My grandparents were catacorner from them. I had an aunt that was down the street. And so my whole family lived on this block, and my grandparents, you know, when I was a kid, this garden, I thought it was as big as 2 football fields. I mean, it just seemed massive. And they grew probably 20 rows, you know, 20 feet long of just everything you could imagine. And so my entire summer was in this garden, around this garden, you know, and when you're a kid, you don't realize the value of someone saying, here, you take this garden hoe and you till this dirt up and or you put these seeds in and do it just like this and not too many. And, you know, when you're a child, it just seems like play. But little did I realize how much of that information I retained and then how that sort of, you know, not to be too cheesy, but planted the seed in me And it just became something that I just really enjoyed doing. And I think, and I, well, I don't think, I know it was because of that older generation kind of handholding me and showing me how to do things like that.
Yes. And what was your favorite thing that you were growing then, do you think?
Well, I always loved to go out. We had a grapevine. And so my friends and I, you know, would run over and snatch a handful every once in a while and take off. And, you know, that was an easy sort of treat that we could nab and run off with. But I think probably one of my fondest memories now, looking back, is I was the neighborhood bean breaker. Anytime someone who would, you know, there would be a big harvest of green beans, they would call me and say, oh, we just, you know, we brought in a big basket and nobody can break beans like you can. And so they would sort of build me up as this wonderful bean breaker. And I was telling my husband the other day when we were talking about it, I feel like now they were just using me as cheap labor so they could go on and do something else, because I always,
of course they were.
Exactly. And I loved it. And I thought I was the best bean breaker in the planet. But now looking back, I'm like, huh, I think I got played by all the elders in the neighborhood who just didn't want to break their own beans.
But now you've now got this. So when did you start as an adult getting an interest in gardening, and what made you want to then continue on and try your hand or try the Master Gardener program?
It has always sort of been there. I remember when I moved to college and I was sort of homesick. I took some house plants that were in my bedroom or in various places at my parents' house. And I tended to those until, you know, when you're in college, you can't really get out there and build a garden or anything. So, you know, I maintained that love and that passion with houseplants and pruning them and, you know, watching them bloom and making sure they were fed okay. So when I moved and was able to purchase a home and get some yard space, and it's gone through several iterations. You know, when I didn't have a whole lot of space, I learned a lot about container gardening. And so we did a lot of that with baskets and growing peppers and tomatoes. And so it's funny how it's evolved to my space needs, you know, from this great big garden when I was a kid to, you know, small things in my apartment and my dorms in college to container gardening when I was in a rental. And now it's sort of come full circle. And every time I'm outside, I just think so much about my grandparents, because now I'm in my own space and I go out every day just like they did after work and look after things and fuss over the beans and fuss over the peas. And so it's just kind of evolved as my life has evolved, but it's always been there. Even if it was just houseplants, there's always been something growing in my space.
I know what you mean about tending to it. I mean, I'm a recent new gardener, but I find it really quite therapeutic to go out into the garden in the morning. Now that I've actually started showing an interest, and I literally every morning, I haven't had to water the last few days, but getting my cup of coffee in the morning and walking my garden and taking pictures of, I see from day to day, oh, there's a new leaf, there's a new bird, and it is really exciting to see.
It is. It really is. And you know, no matter if you grow from seed or you get your plants from the nursery, when you can watch that progress and you know that you've had a hand in that, and the rain has been incredible as far as helping things just stay green and lush and healthy. But when you can go out there and see that progress, or like you said, you see that bud, or you see a bloom, or there's just signs of a fruit forming. It's just, there's something about it that is so magical. And it is, it's very therapeutic. It is, it's part of my wind down every day, basically.
I just am amazed that, and I kind of wish I'd had the opportunity, because I wasn't like you. I had a small place. I didn't do I feel like, I did it when I was a child, but then it disappeared. Mm-hmm. But now we have our first garden. It's just finding new things. And we are growing our first vegetable bed. And we now have lots of like green tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And every day that I'm checking them. Are they? We have some jalapeno peppers that are huge now.
Yes. And everything changes, you know, just from the very tender sort of tending to them and even just going out and looking to them. And when you eat them, the experience is completely different. I mean, I can't explain it, how when you bring that inside from your garden, something that you grew and you eat it, it's just a totally, it's mindful. It's much more mindful.
Yes, absolutely. We have grown everything in our bed for making pico de gallo. That's all we're doing. Our first endeavor was like, okay, we're only going to grow things that we know we will eat. Because I think a lot of the time you start out with these grand ideas of you're going to put all these things and grow all these vegetables. And we had to sort of tamper ourselves down and go, okay, let's just grow what we will actually eat. Mm-hmm. And it is, as you say, when we go, okay, here's my little jalapeno pepper and my little onion that I've grown and tomatoes, it's really fulfilling.
I agree wholeheartedly. It is. And it's just, you know, when I take my kids out there, and of course they're not as excited as I am. There's definitely some eye rolling for my 10-year-old, but, it is. It's just, you know, it's a different experience, and one that I hope my kids will, even if they don't latch onto it right away, you know, even if it's something that in the back of their minds later on in life, oh, I remember this, or, you know, my mom said this, you know, just mm-hmm. like with you. You said you did it as a child and now you've come back to it. I just want to lay that foundation for them.
So apart from vegetables as well and things, you what sort of flowers do you like? Do you gravitate to certain types, annuals, perennials, or what do you like?
I'll tell you the truth. That's probably my weaker area. Flowers, I like plants. So I have a lot like mother-in-law's tongue and a lot of ferns and greenery inside. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of pitiful at a certain few. African violets, I kill them every time. Yeah, they are just, you know, some of the more fickle ones I struggle with. But outside in my bed, my house is red and white. And so I did my front flower bed in all red and white impatiens. I've got the pretty little border there. And then when we moved, the folks who lived there previous to, they had done a lot with landscaping. So we were able to move like some prairie grass and move it to another location that we thought maybe accented better. They left some orchids and some lilies. And I planted, this is the first year that I did a lot of wildflowers. We have some acreage. And so I told my husband, I said, you know, the green is beautiful out there, but wouldn't you just love to wake up in the morning and just see this sea of just color everywhere from all these wildflowers and black-eyed Susans and, you know, just baby's breath and all kinds of things. So this year has been my newest adventure, is trying to get these wildflowers to grow in. And I planted some sunflowers around the border of our property. So I just wanted color. You know, I just wanted a lot of color and blooming and just, yeah, color and beauty and butterflies.
I would love to grow some wildflowers. And was it an easy experience for you? Is it something that, you know, newbies can try and get involved in?
Absolutely. I went out and, you know, I started at beginner level with these because I didn't have a lot of experience with them. But a lot of them, they just come in sort of like a big seed packet or a box. And then you just kind of rake up or lightly till up the area, barely cover them with soil, give them a little water, and just turn them loose. I did do a little weeding initially just to make sure that they were getting enough sunlight, but and they're growing. They did well. I got them out right after we were out of the threat for frost, and I've got a few little patches of sunflowers popping up here and there. And I told my husband, I said, I know it's patchy. I know it's a little silly this year. I said, but by next year, I really believe that it'll be full and it'll just look like a meadow right out of a movie or something. So
that sounds perfect. You will have to take photographs and share them on the Mid-American Gardener Facebook page.
Absolutely. I've got a few photos that I definitely want to share of some of my vegetables and things like that that are growing. So yeah, I would definitely, I'll take some photos and share those soon.
Hey, I have a question for you. What do you do? We've got this huge caterpillar on our tomato plants. I mean, I have never seen a caterpillar this big. It's huge. Are you, am I supposed to remove it? Is it going to eat them? What do I do with a caterpillar? Well, do you know?
It's kind of hard to, I don't know if it's a caterpillar or if it's a hornworm. There are some that will eat your tomatoes. Absolutely.
It's the biggest caterpillar I've ever seen. It's big and green.
Yeah, that's a hornworm. You probably would want to take that guy and move him somewhere else. And I'll tell you, he'll also probably get into your peppers as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay. As soon as I hang up from you, I am running outside and moving that little sucker.
Yeah, I would just take him and give him a new home, because he will definitely just munch and munch and munch in there.
Ah, good to know. I was about to contact Phil Nixon, who's actually on the show this week. And talking of which, if people listen to this before the show, you are going to be on the show on Thursday, just as an intro, right?
Yes, I'm coming over on Thursday. I will be towards the end, I believe. Then we'll just do a little quick introduction and maybe spend 5 or so minutes on telling a little bit about me and my interests and how this whole thing sort of evolved. And
To Sandy.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So if anyone listens to this before the show, don't forget to tune in Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, to get it on WILL-TV. You, in addition to your flowers and your houseplants and your vegetables, I hear you have chicken.
I do.
Or chickens. I do. How many have you got?
My original flock was 6, but I ended up losing 2. So I've got 4 left, and they all have names. They are my princesses. I just adore them. You know, it's so funny. When I first got them, I ordered them, and they came in the mail. And I went to the post office and told them my
Hold on. Did you just say the chicken? I'm sorry. I'm sure I heard you say they came in the mail.
They did. They shipped them to me in the mail. They were at a hatchery. And as soon as they're hatched and they are cleared, they get their first little health check, they go in the mail. And so when I went to the post office and I told them my name, they said, "Oh, you're the lady that's here to get the box that's chirping." Sure enough, they come back from the front or from the back storage area, and this box is just chirp, 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 chirp. All 6 of those babies were in there just making so much noise. It was hilarious. So
does the mailman know to carry them carefully?
Yes. The box, it was labeled fragile, living animals inside. And there was a little heater in there for them. And I've had these chickens since they were a day old. They overnight them to you. And, you know, I wanted to do sort of a closed end system. So, you know, collecting rainwater, having chickens to use the compost and all that kind of thing. I really wanted to do a really like a whole farm setup, if you will, because it all, you know, it all kind of works together. And so the chickens are definitely benefiting, by the way, from my overabundance of lettuce at the moment. They are loving it.
Now, what are their names?
Okay. So there's Winifred. And then I have the rest are the Golden Girls. They're all 3 Bard Rocks. And so they are Blanche, Rose, and Sophia, and then Winifred. Yeah, I know. I get that reaction a lot. My husband thinks I'm completely insane. But when these chickens see me, they take notice. You know, when I open the blinds, if it's me that opens the blinds, they kind of all crowd right there and they squawk and talk. But if somebody else does it, they just kind of go on about their business. So I feel like we're friends. But honestly, it's just because I'm the food bringer. But I tell myself that they like me.
Now, were they free roaming then, or do you have them in some sort of cage or home,
house? We do half and half. Since we live in a wooded area, and we can hear the coyotes howling at night, So
you have to bring them in at night.
Yes, at night they are cooped because I don't feel safe. I know a lot of people who don't, and they have these great big large flocks of 20 or 30 birds, and so they don't even notice if a couple come up missing, you know. But I want my ladies to be safe.
But if Winifred went missing, you would know about
immediately,
it.
Immediately, I would say, 1, 2, 3, oh, where's Winnie? So the plan is to eventually, as time and finances allow, I would love to add a dairy cow or a pair of goats and just get a small working farm. And that would be my dream life. I would never want to leave my house.
Oh, wow. When I grew up, my father every year used to get us orphaned lambs to hand rear. And then one year we did try, he got us a calf each, but they jumped right out, and multiple times we were chasing them around the village, and it was like, no, we can't do this. We'll stick to sheep. But yeah, they were escape artists. So
wow.
Good luck with that one.
Say, I'll note that one for sure. And a lamb is much easier to chase and bring back home than a cow, for sure.
Yes, that's right. Probably cause less damage as well. But oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
And how old did you say your children were?
I have a 10-year-old named Lincoln, and I have a 2-year-old boy. His name is Deacon. So I've got two boys, and they're learning right alongside me. And you know, it's funny, my son, he will come home from school. They'll have a lesson on agriculture or something, and he'll say, Mom, I raised my hand, and I told the teacher that we have chickens at home, and this is what we feed them, and this is, you know, this is kind of what they like and how they live. And I just got so tickled by that, you know.
That he's actually really interested in it.
Yeah, even and though he pretends he's not, he's listening and he's learning. And so I'm thinking, all right, I get to check that box off, you know.
Now, are they growing the sunflowers that you mentioned? Are the kids enjoying those?
You know, take it or leave it, honestly.
I was having a conversation with Kent Miles last episode, and he was saying that they have white sunflowers now.
Oh,
which I thought was, I never knew they had other colors beside yellow.
I didn't either. Huh.
So, yes, there are some white varieties out there.
Well, we'll have to look into that too.
Yeah. Well, listen, what are your hopes or plans? What do you want to get from your experience with Mid-American Gardener?
I think the biggest thing for me is to hopefully attract more people my age and younger into this sort of lifestyle. You know, we talk a lot about sustainable living. A lot of folks, and I'll use the millennials, for example, you know, a lot of folks will charge them with all of these horrible social crimes, you know, but they get it. When it comes to sustainable living, they're recycling, they're being better stewards of our environment than my generation was and those previous too. So, you know, my big goal is to learn right alongside folks who think that this is something that's really complicated, or maybe change some views for folks who think they don't have time. You know, just imagine, for example, if you have one tomato plant, how much fruit that can bear. And then you have the satisfaction of knowing, A, that you grew it, and B, you're kind of loosening up your dependence one step at a time on these big box places. You know, you're saving yourself money. A pack of seeds for $1 can save you trips to the grocery store and buying tomatoes. That's a big thing.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I think it's more, you know, just giving people the confidence to just give it a shot.
But I think a lot of our existing viewers and fans as well will love to hear your viewpoint on things, because I think, you know, we love our fan base that we have. So if we can keep those people and give them interesting ideas to continue with their gardening efforts, but also bring into the fold the, you know, the people like me, or that don't know, want to try, but they're a little intimidated. So I think we have some exciting times ahead of us to, you know, expand and grow the Mid-American Gardener family.
Well, I am very excited about that future, and I'm really glad to be on board. It's not every day that someone who has a journalism background, TV experience, in a Master Gardener program, you know, it was just like, wait, what? There's a role for that, for all of those things. So
there is. All of it can come together, and it's coming together for you right now. And we are going to look forward to seeing you on the show tonight, as this will be airing just beforehand. But thank you so much for speaking to me. I know you're a busy bee. So it is greatly appreciated, and I'm looking forward to learning more from you. And I think it'll be great to have you at WILL.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to getting dirty, basically, getting my hands dirty and getting out there and learning and having fun with everybody else.
That's wonderful. And many thanks to everyone who's listening for this fabulous episode of the Mid-American Gardener podcast. Mid-American Gardener is a production of Illinois Public Media. This episode was produced and hosted by me, Victoria Shepherd. Executive producer was Lisa Brontz. Find us on the web at midamericangardener.org, where you can stream us as many times as you like. This and past episodes are also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the NPR One app. So subscribe and rate with abandon. And if you have any gardening questions for future inclusion on either the TV show or the podcast, email us at yourgarden@gmail.com or message us via Facebook or call us and leave us a voicemail at 217-300-8224. Thanks again to Tanisha Shade Spain. The Mid-American Gardener podcast will be back in a couple of weeks with another gardening whiz.